most of the greater I am that I am. Father, we thank you. What a day to be alive. In you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. Be glorified, be honored, and be adored. Father, breathe upon this service here today. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. And be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. I welcome everyone here today. I'm bringing you greetings from Tanzania and from Malawi. Very, very, very exciting, impactful meetings. We'll show you the clips shortly. And the Lord bless you. Reverend John Dacko and the Crusade team, I'll tell you shortly about that. The Raiha Bonke Crusade's 50th anniversary of the ministry will be holding next month. And everyone is encouraged to be there and also take people there. And I'll talk to especially our church in that axis shortly. We're all connected right now. Can I see the Maraba axis people? The Massacre axis people? Can I show them on the screen? Hallelujah. We have Bishop and Reverend Mrs. Achanya all the way from Mina. Very, very close to our ministry in terms of association for many, many years. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. And their son, Evangelist, and Mrs. Joe Achanya also, all the way from America, they came into Nigeria with a team of people who also came in for a crusade they held in Gombe. Very explosive. You're all welcome. Welcome you all. God bless you. And I'm sure you had a good time so far in Nigeria. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Please be seated. The earth is being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Just very, very quickly, I have a message this morning that is very, very, very deep in my heart. It is titled Love, the Foundation of Godly Character. This is part two of the message started in the first service. Love, the foundation of godly character. We had identified four objectives today. First of all, our first objective is to understand the relationship between love and character. What is the relationship between love and character? Second, we are understanding the hate generation that we live in. Whether we know it or not, we live in a generation hate. And I'll talk about that shortly. Thirdly, we are going to understand the consequences of the lack of the love walk. When the love walk is not there, what are the consequences of it? And then, we shall proceed to receive certain counsels on the walk of love. Now the scripture we read in first service, I'll read it and then read the second service scripture. It's Romans chapter 13 and in verse 8. Romans chapter 13 verse 8 said, owe no man nothing or anything but to love one another. He said, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The summary of that message, of that preaching that we saw in the first service, is that when you understand the walk of love, you don't need to memorize the law. You don't need to remember the commandments. That love make walking in character automatic.
There is an intrinsic automaticity to character where love is in place. You won't need to remember to please God or remember to live right if you live in love. We established that in the first service. Because people kill for lack of love, they steal for lack of love. They injure and they hurt for lack of love. We saw all of that in the first service. Now, if you look at 1st, 2nd Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. He said, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now that's what without natural affection. I like us to read it from other translations, if it is possible. Without natural affection. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 3. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhuman. Now, God is saying that when we walk in love, we walk in God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. When we walk in love, we walk with God. And when we walk with God, we end with God. When we walk in hate, we walk with the devil. And when we walk with the devil, we must end with the devil. How you walk determines where you end. When you walk in love, you don't struggle to be good. You are naturally good. When you walk in love, you don't struggle to be pleasant. You are naturally pleasant. When you walk in love, you don't struggle to please God. Because inside love is pleasure to God. But this is what is most challenging. That as we approach the end of time, there is going to be an epidemic of lovelessness. There is going to be an explosion, a plague of hatefulness. I call it the hate revolution. It is now, Matthew chapter 12, chapter 24, verse 12 said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because of the abundance of iniquity. So as we approach the end of the world, love in the heart of people will die. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, verse 3, and read all the other translations. It said, in the end time, people will be without natural affection. Now, get me the other, now, they will be without love, bitter haters. Does that remind you of the online climate? Bitter haters. Read again. Bitter, now, Bible in basic English, please, please. Bitter haters, saying evil of others. Violent and uncontrolled, hating all good. What describes our generation more than this? What describe social media users, tweeters, all manner. What do they say? Bloggers. He said they will be unkind. Look at that. Let's go. They will be unkind, merciless, slanderous, violent, and fierce. They will hate all the good. Beloved, I want you to wake up to the world in which we live. People think they are having fun. They don't know they are being drowned by the spirit of the age. They think they are having fun and just jesting and making and having a good day from hating and being hateful. They are not aware that they are instruments of damnation in the hands of the Lord. Look at the Message Bible. Dog eat dog. Unbending, slanderous, impulsively wise, savage. You know what the youth of these days talk about? When somebody makes a very, very terrible statement, they say that was savage. Savage, cynical. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Are we in the end time or not? He said, in the last days, this shall be the kind of symptom of what we experience in the last days. In the last days. And they will be hard-headed, never giving to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers. Think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and snare at those who try to be good. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I reject this revolution. It will never swallow me. It will never consume me. I reject this hate revolution. I reject it in the name of Jesus. I will never be a victim of this hate revolution in the name of Jesus. And speaking in the first service, that's Manchester and Croydon. Speaking in the first service, I said that two original sins at the beginning of the Bible, two of the original sins were rooted in lovelessness. How? The sin of Eve and Adam. I explained that in the first service, but maybe just briefly. When the serpent came and said, has God said, you shall not eat of this? The seed of hate against God was what was being sown. Can you place that scripture and just look at it, and then we'll go in Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. The Bible said the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field which God had made. And he said unto the woman, here has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I want to let you know that God is not sincere. If God is not his, he's not the person you think he is. Don't believe him. Don't trust him. He's not real. He said you should not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that right? That is cynical. Cynicism. Now, keep going. But of the fruit, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. He said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it lest you die. Here the serpent, the devil. And the serpent said to her, you shall not surely die. God is lying. God is lying. You people are wasting your time believing him. I lived with him for millennium before I rebelled. He's not real. God is lying. God is not true. He's not authentic. There is something God is trying to hide from you. God knows that the day you eat it, you will become like a God and be like him. And God does not want anybody to be like him. That is why he doesn't want you to eat it. Eat it and see. That was very, very wicked. That is the hate we are talking about. Painting a good person black. Painting the God of integrity to look like the master of iniquity. Original Luciferic sin was rooted in the injection of hatred. Hatred in the heart of man. Hatred for God. Are you understanding what I'm saying now? So every at the root of character bankruptcy is love deficiency. When love begins to die, character begins to become bankrupt. And now I said many things in the first service that are signs and symptoms of lovelessness. But look at the second example of the original sin in Eden. Cain and Abel. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 4 and in verse 3, we can look at that and see what happened. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, now hatred was brewing. Why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That is if you want. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the truth is, if you are not your brother's keeper, it means you are your brother's killer. You will never be neutral. You are either keeping your brother or killing your brother. You are either keeping your sister or killing your sister. Or refusing to prevent their being killed. Non-neutral. Either keeping them or killing them or watching them killed without doing nothing. And the Lord said, what has thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Beloved, the aim of this teaching is to ensure that you are conscious of the generation we live in, that we are not living in a normal time, that when people are beginning to sell human beings and negotiate on the head of a person, calling it ransom, we are not in normal times. So that we can know how to act appropriately. Now, in the first service, I gave 7 symptoms of the hate generation. The hate revolution. The symptoms of lack of love. I don't know if I have the time, but I may rush through it because I have another 7 in this service. Can you go through? Number 1, in this generation hate, people think principally of themselves, their own gains and benefits. That's all. This is what I want, and this is what I'll get. Number 2, we said that people think and imagine the worst about others. That was what the devil was trying to make Eve imagine about God. He's a liar. He's not truthful. He's deceitful. Don't believe him. Thirdly, I said that people can rubbish the character, reputation, and perception of others just to get what they want. That was what, again, Cain and the serpent was trying to do to the image and character of God. That was what Potiphar's wife did to Joseph. That was what Gehazi tried to do to the reputation of Elisha. They can do that. Number 4, I said that people don't mind a whole nation sinking, provided they get what they want. It's a hate generation. They don't mind a whole nation sinking. What Eve and Adam did sank humankind. Achan carried a wedge of gold and sank Israel. And we have people in our generation today who don't mind territories, nations, communities perishing, but they must have what they want. Sila, you can think about the rest of it. Number 5, I said people undermine the rights and the dignities of others without emotion. Are you the owner of Joseph who told you you can sell him?
Judas Iscariot, how much did you buy Jesus before you decided to sell him? How much did you buy him? But that is the hate generation. The rights of others mean nothing. The dignity of others mean nothing. And then number six, we said that people are hardened to the feelings, to the aspirations, the pains, and the hurts of others. That's the generation we live in. They are just hardened. They are just hardened. They are emotionless. I heard of a serial killer one day. After they arrested him and about to sentence him, they say, what makes you kill people like that? He said, you know the way people cry when they are about to, they scream. He said, that excites him. He looks forward to that. It turns on his adrenaline. Emotionless. Heartless. It is a generation. But you will never be the victim of it. And for as much as light will overcome darkness, we will overcome the evil. And then people who celebrate evil in others more than good. There are people who are actually permanently on the lookout for evil about others. To harvest, to magnify, to celebrate. Meanwhile, when David heard that his worst enemy, Saul, was killed on the mountains of Gilboa, he said, tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Don't post it. Don't let it enter Twitter. Publish it not. Don't just arrange it away. Please. Don't celebrate it. The man is my enemy. He wants me killed. But I don't want anybody to hear of his downfall. The man wanted me killed. The man threw javelin on me many times. I had to dodge to survive. But I don't want the news of his disaster to go out. How many people do we have in this generation? Who will still protect their potential killer? Who will still try to ensure that bad news about their enemies does not go out? Not this generation. Generation making money out of bad news. Generation making money out of slander. Generation making money out of rubbishing people and being excited with a bandwagon generation, also joining the bandwagon to cut as many people as they can just for the fun of it. But what shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I don't know how much money you will make, but you will stand before God to defend why you think it is your life's assignment to cut people down in order to appear relevant. That's the generation we are in. Hate. Notice there's something they call cancel culture. Plenty in America. Bring somebody up, everybody cancel him. Everybody just say anything you want about. Just rubbish. It's just this. It's just that. It's just this. It's just that. Just cancel him. Just. And then we are through with him. Let's pick another person. What a life. What a way to live. But in the name of Jesus, the light is shining and the darkness shall not comprehend it. Lift your hands and say in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. I refuse to be a part of this, of that generation wickedness, of that hate revolution. I refuse to be a part of it. I shall live differently. I shall act differently. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Let me give you seven more for this service. The one that I just mentioned belong to the last service. What are the signs and the symptoms of this hate generation? Number eight now. People think minimally about others. They think minimally. You know,
One day, that was what Cain did. They think minimally. Don't care about Abel. His pain is odd. One day, I was talking to a young man. Growing up, none of us was married yet. So we're talking about what kind of wife would you like to marry? And the young man told me, I don't like to marry that kind of woman. That is all, everything is ha, ha, ha. Look after me. Take care of me. Baby me. Just look after me. Just want you to be all over her and just be caring for her. I said, really? Yeah, that's not too good. So what kind of wife do you want to marry? He said, the one that will take care of me, that will baby me. You understand what I say? I don't want it the other way, but let it be this way. I don't want to take care of her, but she should take care of me. You know, that is the kind of selfishness people enter into relationships with. And then somebody is expecting the other person to pour all the love on them without doing anything. And then everybody is just on their own. You know, one man who is a drunkard hasn't given his life to Christ. He said, let me go to church and find a good Christian girl and marry. I don't want to marry all these girls on the street. You are not sure of them. You are not sure of their behavior. He hasn't changed, though. He's not a Christian. He only came to church to find a good Christian wife. Unknown to him, another lady was coming to church to find a good Christian husband. She hasn't changed, though. She's a smoker. So they met each other in church and married. Oh my God. They just married each other. When they reached home, the guy opened his bottle of beer. The woman lit her cigarette. And the man said, what am I seeing? I thought you were a Christian. She said, me too. That is the equation, balance. Drunker versus smoker. Who came to church looking for who to deceive. And then just located each other. And just got hooked. God is too kind. God is too kind. Hallelujah. Take yourself. That is what we find in this hate revolution. People think that was again Cain. They think minimally about others. They think more about the pains of others, the hearts of others. They think nothing, provided they get what they want. Number two for this service, which is number eight actually, is people who resist, and attack the success of others. It's a hate revolution. They resent it. They resist it. And they actually attack the success, attack the welfare, the well-being of others. That was what Cain did. And that is linking me up to number three. And then number two is connected to number three, which is actually number nine. And that is people see others as the reason for their failure. They see others as the reason for their lack of success. It's part of the hate revolution. God received the sacrifice of Abel. Can I ask you a question? Was it Abel who told Cain what to sacrifice? Was it Abel that was the decider of what to accept? When Abel did the right thing, did he prevent Cain from doing the right thing? Yet because you succeeded and I didn't succeed, you must die. Because you are accepted and I'm not accepted, you must die. Isn't that what is happening in our generation today? Because you are up and we are down, you must come down and join us. Crabology. Oculicality.
Bishop Achaya, you remember Okleka? Crabology. You know, if you put 100 crabs inside a basket, you don't need to cover that basket because none of it will go out. When one crab is going out, the 99 will pull down his legs. Come down, join us where we are. Do you understand what I'm talking about? People, even in America, it is plenty. I was talking to one of the Americans the other day. He said there is a political party. All they want is to collect all the money from the rich people and distribute it in social welfare and all of that to the poor people. And the poor people are, that is, those who will sit at home and be lazy. They won't look for job. They are looking for unemployment benefits. And they are looking for all of these things. They will sit down and be angry that the rich are rich. Increase their tax and let them pay us. It's like that everywhere in the world. From up to down, it's everywhere. One person is successful in a community and the other people hate him. One is successful in a family and every other person hates them. It's like he's the reason why we have failed. Who said? Yes. That is the hate generation. Most of the attacks you see are reaction to failure. Reaction to personal failure. Reaction to personal frustration. And they are looking for where to vent the frustration. Let us insult that man. A man that they will never stand with face to face. They are hiding somewhere and typing. Lift your right hand, say in the name of Jesus. I refuse to be a part of this wicked revolution. In the name of Jesus. I heard a story from Dr. Mr. Nenche about a village of one very extremely rich man, three rich men, one wise man, and then one king. Every other person was poor. So suddenly the poor people gathered together and said they are going to kill the rich people in the village because they are the reason why they are poor. So the matter went to the king, and the king called the wise man and asked him, what do we do? And these rich people were sponsoring the family of the rich of the king. They sustain him. What do we do? I can't afford to lose these rich people. And the wise man said, let these three rich people share their properties equally to all the villagers. It's better they are alive than they lose their lives. When the wise man gave the counsel to the king told the rich people, they were very happy. So no problem, we'll share. So they shared the property equally to everybody. And then the poor people began their foolish behavior. Those who married three wives will marry more wives. Those who were more alcohol, more drink, more just useless like that. In a hurry, they wasted their resources until they became poorer than they were. Meanwhile, the rich people exploded beyond where they were. Number one, by the principle of sowing and reaping. And number two, how they made the money in the first place, they didn't forget it. How they made the money in the first place was a fixed deposit. So they returned back, and when the poor people saw that they are down to the flat level, they could say nothing anymore. Because money will not make a poor man rich, and the lack of money will not make a rich man poor. It's all a mentality. The presence of money will not make a poor man rich. He will never. Because he's going to do his poverty behavior. The behavior that made him poor. He will escalate it and return back poorer. And the absence of money will not make a rich man poor. Because he has the sense to make the money. If he doesn't have cash, he will turn ideas to cash.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So nobody is the reason why anybody is where they are. But what you celebrate is what you will attract. What you hate, you can't have. What you attack, you can't attract. So if you ever see something that you like, that is good, like it. Because if you like it, you won't lack it. And if you don't attack it, you can attract it. Hallelujah. Somebody say loud amen. People who see others as a reason for their failure. That is a hate generation. That is what we see with Cain. Number four are people who have zero accommodation for the interests and welfare of others. They can't accommodate the welfare of others. They can't accommodate the interests of others. They can't accommodate the feelings of others. They don't have that accommodation. Again, we saw that in the life of Cain. That is the hate generation. No accommodation. All that they have is their interest, their welfare. And then, their feelings. And then, number five, are people who will do to others what they will never imagine others to do to them. That is what they do to us. That is the hate generation. They will do to others what they will never imagine others doing to them or their loved ones. They will do that. Love is easy. If only you just put yourself in the shoes of the other person. Cain did to Abel what you will never expect. The brothers of Joseph did to Joseph what they will never imagine anybody doing to them. What of the woman that was caught in adultery? How many people would like themselves exposed when they have a fault? Exposed to the point of bringing the woman out. The Bible says in the very act. So in my mind, there was no cloth on. If she was caught in the act, she was brought out like that. And they didn't bring out the man. The hypocritic man that connived with the people. They say she was caught in the act and they brought only one woman. Acting with herself. That matter had missed at minimum of two actors. And yet they were hiding that woman right there. Hiding the man among themselves. Who would ever expect that to be done to their wife or their daughter? Or their sister or their relation? And here they are doing it to someone without any cause. That is the generation of hate we are talking about. People who will do to others. Number six, there are people who are permanently unkind and uncomplimentary. They see no good in anything, in anyone. Permanently unkind. Permanently unkind, uncomplimentary. They see no good in anyone, in anything. I think last time we went to Maiduguri, after the flood, I ministered to the people. All the way in Malawi. It's an indigenous of Maiduguri, right? Was saying thank you for helping our people. For going to Maiduguri. To distribute welfare. We are grateful. You know what some people said? Somebody come and said, hey, it is good to go and do good, but why must you publicize? Why must people know? That's all it's up. So another person said, you say church is not doing anything for society. Now church has done something to society. It's doing something to society and making it known. And you are saying, why should they make it known? If they don't make it known, how will you know what they are doing? He said you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they might see you. Ensure the good works you are doing is visible.
You know that revelation of let your hand, your left hand, not know what your right hand, it paralyzed us for years. The whole church. But he's talking of arms doing. When I give you money, I shouldn't announce to anybody. When you give me favor, I shouldn't announce to the whole world. But once it borders on good works, make it visible, force it on the world.
That they may see your good works. They can't see it until it is visible. And glorify your Father which is in heaven.
So we live in a generation, whichever way you turn, it's an issue. You know, Jesus said, what will I like in this generation? I mourned, you didn't weep. I sang, you didn't dance. See, John the Baptist came, he's not eating and drinking. They say he's a madman. I came eating and drinking, they say I'm a drunkard, a wine bag. He said, what will I do with you, generation? There is no angle I turn that makes sense to you. That is how the loveless generation. If you like, kill yourself. They say you're here dead. Useless debt. Say, who told you to die? Jesus already died. No, there's nothing you will do. So what do? Just face what you know is right to do. Just focus on what you know is right to do per time and just keep on doing it and let the hate generation continue to hate as a profession. Hallelujah. I need to round off now. But that is where we are. And then, see what they say they are doing. But no matter what you say, what you do. And finally, and I'm talking about people who can't. And when you come around people who cannot appreciate any good thing good about you, please don't kill yourself. Just face your life. Just face your front. Just face your maker. Understanding that you are accountable to God at the end of your journey. You are not accountable to any man. I saw somebody wrote something yesterday. He said, you said we should not pay tithe or give to God. It is not your money we are giving. It is our money we are giving. And we are not inviting you to give your money. Keep your money. Actually advise everybody you know to keep their money. We are giving. You know what the guy said? He said the way we love God and love his work and we are giving into that system is the same way you love alcohol. And you are giving to promote alcoholic companies. It's the same way. Just the way you are patronizing native doctors and all the things you are doing and giving away your money. Flow. Just flow and give your giving. Let us give our giving. Let everybody remain in their lane. Do you understand? He said it is our money and we are not complaining. Hey! Just face your life, people. And finally, we are dealing with people, I mentioned it before, who cannot stand the victory of others. Victory. They react badly. They can't stand the victory, the progress, the success. They react badly. Reverend John, one day some group of people, they are meant to be ministers of the gospel, they call us, they said, let us fellowship with each other and let us, iron sharpen iron and so on.
And then they started talking. Somebody said, "What does Rehab Bonke think he is?" "Yes." He said, "It's money they are using." And I said, "If I have the money Benny Hinn has, people will also hear about me like Benny Hinn." Wow. I said, "Where is this? I said, "Excuse me, people." I carried my Bible and disappeared. The oil that we are celebrating, that anointing that I encountered once, Rehab Bonke, that shifted everything, is what somebody else is talking about. They are angry at the humongous size of crusades, and they are reacting against their littleness, but it's not Bonke who do them. Not Benny. Go find out what he did, and go before God and do likewise. God is no respecter of persons. He is only a respecter of principles. We may be different persons, but if we have the same principles, we get the same results. This young man told me he sat in this, in the healing and deliverance service here for how long? For 3 months, he sat in the healing and deliverance service, just observing, just watching, just looking at things, seeing miracles, seeing signs, seeing wonders, seeing crowds, seeing everything. I wish you had I had a clip of the crusade you're just coming from. And then he stepped out into the field as a crusader, and he's seeing things. He's seeing crowds, he's seeing signs. Young man, seeing crowds, seeing signs, seeing wonders. He came all the way from America, sat down for 3 months. First time we met at the airport in America. He came, sat down for 3 months. The mother and parents are connected. The mother has been in our minister's conference for I don't know how long. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Once you identify anything that is moving, just rush, dash there. Just dash into it. Just latch onto it. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody shout the loudmost amen. Finally, what is the negative effect? My time is gone. The negative effect of hate. The hate revolution. It's exactly the same thing I said in the first service. Bankruptcy of character. The consequences of the absence of love. Bankruptcy of character. When you fail to walk in love, you walk in your worst. The worst of you manifest. People that we never knew they could kill become killers. All of a sudden, because love died. See an innocent looking man become a wife beater. Mr. Abali is not here now. He said, "Are you here?" He told me about one young man in the marriage course. No, we do a marriage, premarital counseling course. This young man was given an award in the class as the quiet, gentle, well-behaved in the class. How long did the marriage last before he started beating his wife? 1 month. He passed the exam but failed in life. There are many who will pass the exam and fail in life. You know, there are many first class graduates who are looking for money. When you are out of love, people will be shocked that you behave like that. Bankruptcy of character. Character bankruptcy happens. We saw that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Number 2 is limitation of potentials. You don't know what you can do. You don't know what can come out of your life
until you actually walk in the... You see, God made man in his image, and God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. So the best of man comes out in the practice of love. Your best potentials, your graces and your giftings, they come out as you walk in the nature of your creation. As you walk in the nature of your origin. If you want the bird to fly, bring it out of the cage. Take it to the sky. If you want the fish to swim, remove it from the aquarium and take it into the ocean. You want the plant to grow, remove it from the pot and put it on the earth. You want man to flourish, put it inside where he came out from. He came out from God. He came out of love. I'm telling you, you will see potential that will shock you. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. The absence of love, number three, is the deficiency of divine presence. It is not possible to carry the presence of God when you don't carry love. You see, God is love. And two cannot walk together except that they agree. To walk with God, you must walk in love. You must be loving and lovable. Love must flow everywhere. You must walk in love. The absence of number four is the absence of true joy and fulfillment in life. Nobody can have joy who does not have love. For the fruit of the Spirit is love that flows into joy. Galatians 5:22. It's not possible. You can't know what it means to be fulfilled until you know what it means to love. Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden of Eden, driven out of the garden of pleasure, out of the garden of fulfillment. When love died in their heart, the absence of fulfillment. Number five is the presence of torment and trouble in the system. Where love is not in the system, there will be torment in the system. Where love is not in the system, he said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. A lady became so bitter until she ran mad. Bitter. She was justifiably bitter because the people hurt her very terribly. But the bitterness went out of control until it became madness. There are hypertensives that came out of grief. There are ulcers that came out of hurt. The presence of torment and trouble. Number six is the most frightening. The guarantee of eternal damnation in hell. Nobody can make heaven with hatred. Nobody can make heaven with bitterness. If God is love, you can't live in hate and live with love forever. See 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 15. Say, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abided in him. All of those people playing with hatred and bitterness. You are enjoying hating people, insulting people, mocking people, jeering at people. Or somebody recruited you into hatred. How many of you know that there are people who hate others on somebody's behalf? Hello? You understand that? Come. Two of you. Sorry to say this. So, I know this man. I don't know this man. This man has a challenge with this one. And they are not talking to each other. This is hypothetical. I don't know this man. He has never done anything wrong to me. He even acts so nice when he sees me. But because I am friendly with this one, and this one has transferred his aggression, transferred his hatred, his bitterness and frustration, I look at this man. He greets me, I refuse to answer. I treat him in the eyes of this man. I treat him with acquired bitterness. ABSS. Acquired bitterness sufficiency syndrome. Not acquired immunodeficiency. Bitterness sufficiency. Not deficiency. Is sufficient. You just acquire. It's a new virus. The virus is online. Is everywhere. Acquired bitterness sufficiency syndrome. ABSS. And you can't detect it in the laboratory. It has to be detected spiritually. The signs and symptoms of it is what we say, plenty of it. Lack of appreciation of good things. Permanent unkindness. It will never be your portion. So we have a lot of people hating others on people's behalf. Take your seat. I want you to change that today. That person that did not do you anything that you are not greeting, greet them. Send them a text message. Tell them you have done nothing wrong to me. I'm sorry for not responding. Or you may not need to go into that. I just wanted to greet you and find out how you are doing. And the person will be shocked. What happened? Say, oh no, I went to church and I heard some good message. So that you don't play with hellfire. Don't play with hell. You have never killed a person physically before. And hatred is equating you with a murderer. You have never hurt a person physically, and the hatred in your heart is equating you with the ritual killer, the kidnapper. It's too bad. It's not worth it. No offense, it's not worth it. The same hellfire. That's what our generation is playing with. That is what a lot of people are recruiting people to. I will mention this one now because these pastors are here. I heard this from Daddy Adeboye. He said, when he was growing up, the founder of RCCG Park in Dayomi saw him, a PhD holder, young man, was encouraging him and grooming him. One person who was ahead of them became bitter. Where is this one coming from? So everything he did to please that man just was nothing. One day he went to the general and said, excuse me, sir, what did I do against this man? He's elderly. I greet him. Everything I do to please him, no response. The Baba said, go and lie down for him, prostrate, dabale, and just tell him you are sorry in case you did anything. He went and did the same for the man. While he was on the floor, the man was busy insulting him. He didn't mean nothing to the man. Look at you, useless boy. Do you think you are? So he stood up, felt very bad, and went to the Baba and said, what you said I should do, I did. But see the outcome. He said, don't worry, my son. You have done what you are meant to do. Only for him to hear later, that man was talking to somebody else. And you know what he told the person? This Baba, this wicked man. He said, as for him, he knows he's going to hell. Oh yes. He's aware. That he's going to, that his only assignment is how many people to take with him. I said that so you can understand that there are people who are trying to recruit you to hell. Either by hurting you so bad until you are left with the bitterness, or by recruiting you to hate people. There are plenty online. Pick a person as a topic and recruit you to comment. And then gullible people just run like sheep to the slaughter. without assignment and agenda for life. Not knowing the same time you are using to hate is the same time you need to think and make progress. It's a new day. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace to live in love. I receive the grace to walk in love. I receive that grace now. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Finally, as we close, what is my counsel? Threefold. While we are in this hate generation, number one, refuse to be swallowed up in the hate revolution of this generation. Just know the time we are in. He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. When somebody brings gossip to you, refuse to participate. When they want to cut somebody's character, refuse it. Because whoever brings something to you from somebody will take something from you to somebody. The people who can, Abraham Lincoln said, whoever can flatter can slander. Number two, determined to camp with God and with loving people. There is a company you will keep that will turn you into a hater. Evil communication corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. God is love. Camp with God. Camp with people who wish everybody well. I've hung around people like our father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo. To some extent, Pastor Yi Adeboye. You will never see these people pick a person as a topic. Never. They are too busy with life's assignment. Too busy with life's assignment. Just stay away. Anybody you know is consistently engaging you in this subject that destroy people. Give them space. They are not your enemies. Let them just be somebody you know. Are they your enemies? No. Are they your friends? Also, no. Who are they? I know him. Very important. So you save your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. Keep your heart. And what you hear is death to your heart. What you see, guard your heart. Because there are people who are trying to make inroads into your heart and poison it with bitterness. Somebody came to my prayer and said, did you hear what somebody is, so and so person is attacking you? What do we do about this? Papa Yedewa said, if somebody is attacking me and I'm not attacking him, is the fight not over? He said, it takes two people to fight. That was how he shot that person off and the person left. The person wasn't a good person. The person who came to talk like that. Not that he was interested in his welfare. He was trying to hear what to get from him and take it out. And finally, continually give expression to the love of God in your heart. Love cometh by practicing love. Exercise is the way of excellence. Anything you exercise in, you excel in. Just exercise yourself in love. Compliment on somebody's good look. Wish somebody well. Find out why a person wasn't looking sharp and smart. Are you okay? You normally look sharper than this. You look more excited than this. Are you okay? Find out. Just be interested in the next person. Be interested. To be interesting, you must be interested. If you are going to be a person that is interesting, you must be interested. There are many who are not interested. They don't interest people. Nobody wants to hang around them. Because they are not interested in people. When you love people, they hardly The easiest way for people not to leave your company is when you show them practical love. Some of our pastors, one day I had a meeting with one or two of our pastors who were in this ministry before but stepped out for one or two of their own assignments. So I had a meeting with them. Some had been here for 8 years, some 10 years, some away. And so we had a meeting. By the time we finished talking, one of them told me, said, I don't know the last time I laughed like this. I don't know the last time I laughed heartily like this. Because most times when we gather, we charge ourselves up and somebody's rolling on the floor with laughter. I don't know the last time I felt this kind of joy and laughter and excitement. Ensure that you are interesting by being interested. Don't, if you are, you feel lonely, give companionship out. Call up somebody. Stretch the hands. People don't talk to me. Talk to people. And something will change. Somebody is blessed today. Who is that person? Are you sure you are that person? Stand up on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. The loudest shout of praise. That is the guy who was here for 3 months. Sitting down in healing and deliverance service. They just returned from this crusade in Gombe. And that is how it is. What you eat, eats you up. What you eat, eats you up. What you like, you can't lack. What you don't hate, you must have. Wave your hands and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Give Him the praise. Give Him the honor. Give Him the adoration. Give Him the worship. In Jesus' precious name.